It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Now, I got to ask you, what time is it? It's time to stop that closet dwelling because pretending sucks and living your truth rocks. Hi there, I'm Rick Clemons, your host for the Coming Out Lounge. And I have to say, today's a pretty special day on the Coming Out Lounge because I'm going to talk about something really close to my heart. It's about love, it's about marriage, it's about stepping in to really being in that spiritual alignment with someone you really, truly care about. And I brought back a guest who's a friend of mine, someone that I've had on the show a couple of times. I've been on her radio show. And the reason I'm bringing her back into this conversation today is because both of us did something really special in the last year. She's a lesbian. As you know, I'm a gay man. And we both married our long life-term partners in the last year. I was married for 13 years, as most of you know. And I've since been in my relationship with my partner, my male partner, my same-sex partner, for the last 13 years. And I know my guest has been in her relationship for a very long time. I'm going to let her share the number of years with you because I don't want to spoil that. But she's a really powerful, wonderful person. And she's from Asheboro, North Carolina. Her name is Midge Noble. She's actually a licensed professional counselor who is a child and family therapist who works with people working through any traumas to help them really, truly overcome these traumas by taking a different approach and really choosing happiness. And choosing to be a survivor, not just a victim. She had her own radio show for a while called Second Chances, and that's actually how Midge and I met, and I'm really glad that we did. But the other thing that I really love about Midge, besides that she's a lesbian, she's part of my gay community, that she does this beautiful work with people, is she's also a very compassionate person, and two of her biggest passions are children and animals. She's also the author of two children's books called Shiva, Home is Where Your Heart Is, which focuses on abuse and neglect and learning to trust people again and finding that place that we all like to call our forever home. Her second book is Ice Cube Award, Learning to Be Cool Under Pressure, which focuses on anger management, bullying, and finding that little piece of inner wisdom to really manage problems without getting angry and blowing your stack. So as I said, this is her third appearance on the Coming Out Lounge, and so you know if I'm bringing somebody back for the third time, they're pretty special to me. And the reason I brought Midge back is because we both did this powerful thing of getting married this year, and I want to make this show all about why we got married. Why get married after all these years? What's love got to do with it? All that good stuff, because it could be because of taxes, love, or whatever. So with that in mind, we're going to dive right in. We're going to talk about marriage and long-term relationships from the gay and lesbian perspective. Welcome to the podcast, Midge Noble. How are you doing, Midge?
Hey, Rick, I'm great, and I'm just thrilled to be here. You know I love you so much, and I respect you, and I'm just so happy that we're able to spend this time together.
Me too. You know, and I had a certain way I was going to dive right in with questions and stuff, and then I was out doing my power walk this morning and listened to a podcast by my good buddy Jonathan Fields, and he had a guest on who kind of sparked a new question in my mind. So I'm going to throw this one at you. As a little girl, I'm curious, did you always have dreams of getting married?
Well, I did. I mean, I thought about it, not in the way I think that other girls thought about it. I just thought about being with someone and being really happy. And I would make a list of everything that I wanted in the person that I was going to be with. I just never put the right gender in there because, you know, my world was never allowed to even contemplate that. And so I had this whole list of somebody that was going to be kind and honest and fun and, you know, all these things, which my wife is. And I just never knew at the time that I was ever going to be allowed to pick the gender.
That's pretty amazing. Now, I actually, yes, as a young man, I actually had dreams of being married too. But as life rolled forward and I went through my teen years and I started struggling with my sexuality, I suddenly started having these really big fears that, well, I can't be gay and be married, and I can't be gay and have a family. And for those of you that this may be the first time you're listening to the Coming Out Lounge, this is actually the biggest reasons that I went back in the closet in my late teens, early 20s, and really the reason that I ended up getting married, other than the fact that I did meet a beautiful woman and I did fall in love with her as best I could, being a gay man who really was just getting married to kind of do what the world wants. But I did want to be married. And that's the reason I wanted to lead with this question, because I think it's so interesting to ask other gays and lesbians who, now that we have the rights to marry, I believe there's 37 states now that we can get married in, is to always find out, okay, is this something they always wanted? So let's kind of get to that point of, you know, here you and your wife have been together all these years. How long has it been that you guys have been together?
31 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I want everybody to kind of take that one in. 31 years. That's a whole lot of waking up next to someone with bad breath and going, I still love you, babe. So,
we were roommates first and friends. We count those years because, you know, at the time that we met, we were both in graduate school. And I knew instantly that I was connected to her, but I was still struggling with my own sexuality at the time. But it was quite evident from the time that we met. I mean, we were just never apart. We roomed together, you know, we went to school together. Even when we lived in separate towns after graduate school, our dogs had, I mean, they were like our children, and so they became so close that each of our dogs got depressed when we would, you know, see each other on the weekend and then go back to our respective homes. So we had to have, like, sleepovers for the dogs. Like, I would bring my dog and leave her with Sheba. That was the dog that Stu had. And so I would leave her with Sheba for, you know, a few days and zip down and get her. And then sometimes I'd bring Sheba up with me. And so we were just never, ever apart after we met in graduate school that day. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. So again, I want to go to the number. 31 years, folks. This is more than the average marriage in the U.S. makes it these days. So,
whew, that's right.
You go, girl. Now, of course, if I were to take my first marriage and my current marriage and add those together, I've been in long-term relationships for a total of 26 years of my life. So I guess I kind of get a little bit of an award there. But so
yes,
you guys
you
have been together all this time. As any couple I know, you've probably gone through your fair share of fights and anxious places and not sure if it's going to last and all this sort of stuff. But through all of that, you have made it work. So other than being able to get married, I know you guys had a commitment ceremony at some point along the way, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Back in 1995, we did a holy union. And I did that because, I mean, it was, I guess, more my idea than hers at the time. But I just felt like I wanted people to legitimize us, even though we weren't really going to be out very far in the community. But I had grown up knowing that the sanctity of marriage was really important. And even though it wasn't legal, I still wanted to feel like I was kind of following the tradition of what I had grown up to believe in. Plus, I really, really loved her, and I wanted her to know that I was committed and that I took this seriously, and it wasn't just one of those, you know, U-Haul moments.
Right.
But it really was, you know, a commitment for me. And it was so funny how that happened, because on the day that I was going to ask her, I'd already gotten a ring and everything, and we were sitting on the couch, and she started acting really goofy. And because she's not goofy, she's really a serious person, and she's not that goofy at all. And she was just acting goofy, and she kept taking my hand and rubbing my fingers, and I'm like, "What are you doing? I was like, you having a seizure? What's the problem?"
Right.
And she slipped this finger, slipped this ring on my finger, and I looked down at it, and I said, "Oh my God!" And she goes, "Will you marry me?" And I said, no, wait. And I run out of the room and I go grab my ring that I got for her. And I came back in and I said, "I want to marry you too."
That's
like, I couldn't believe that we both were going to do it at the same time, basically.
That is so, that is one of the best engagement asking someone to marry you stories I've heard in a long, long time. Absolutely amazing. But you brought up something as you were talking through that, you know, about the sanctity of marriage. So
yeah.
What does that really mean to you, Midge?
Well, I grew up in a really confined family. I had a grandfather that was a minister. My uncle is still a minister. He's been at the same church for 50 years across from Appalachian State University in the mountains. And so we've always been in the church, you know, taught the values from the church's perspective. And, you know, you're supposed to be married. You're not supposed to do anything outside of marriage. It's just, you know, it's supposed to be this holy thing. And I think it is, a spiritually holy thing. I think it is that spiritual connection that we have, you know, and that bond. It's taken on a different flavor for me lately, but that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted to still be true to what I had grown up, because I didn't know what else to believe in at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been able to learn about myself, and just thanks to you, because, you know, the times that we shared together, you know, just as friends and also, you know, as you know, my counselor, you are the one that helped me take it to the next level as far as my own development. And I don't know if I could have done it already if I hadn't, you know, had that time with you and really began to search through my own stuff. So
wow.
Thank you, honey, because that was awesome.
You're welcome, and that was some of the most powerful moments of my life too, because it was a connection that we gained both doing our own radio shows, and then we started talking and working with each other and sharing and everything. And it's a really powerful moment when you really get, you know, the spiritual connection thing. I'm glad you brought that piece up, because not only is there a spiritual connection that binds us in our closest relationships, so our spousal relationships, our familial relationships, I think sometimes as human beings, we forget that there's a spiritual connection that binds us as humans. And when we can really step back to that space, in fact, if we could step back to that space as a humanity and really step into our spiritual connection to one another, I think a whole lot of this pain and agony and strife and everything that goes on in the world would truly begin to disappear, because we would be connected at that spiritual space.
Yeah, and our fear would be gone, because when there's faith and spirituality, there's no fear.
Right.
You just know things. And that's why I think all of this homophobic rhetoric and anger and violence is coming up, because people fear what they don't know, and they fear stepping out of that religious dogma that they all grew up with. I mean, you know, that's what kept me down for so long, because I didn't have the skills to replace what I had been taught with anything different. And that fear of you're going to go to hell, and, you know, being gay is like having sex with animals, which is not true. I need your readers, your listeners to know that's not true. But that's what we were taught, even in youth groups. So, you know, when you come from that kind of a place, and then all of a sudden you realize, well, yeah, that's why I didn't like penises, and I thought they were yucky. Okay, now what am I supposed to do with that?
Exactly.
You know?
And that's a really good point, is what are we supposed to do with that? Suddenly, you know, there's a huge chasm we walk through as gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgenders, but I'm going to just really speak to gays and lesbians, because I'm gay, you're lesbian, so we can kind of really break that one apart.
Right.
But the chasm of, okay, nobody taught us how to date. For sure, nobody taught us how to do a long-term relationship in a same-sex couple. And then add the icing on the cake of nobody taught us how to get married. You know, one of the questions that always comes up when I'm talking about this stuff on stage and stuff is people say, so in a same-sex relationship, who does the asking and who walks who down the aisle? I'm like, really? This is the beauty. We kind of get to go create whatever we want to create. We get to do it the way we want to do it, which to me is the beauty. So for me and my husband, and I think kind of for you and your wife as well, we kind of just decided how we were going to do this wedding thing, and we just made it happen. There wasn't like a whole lot of huge to-do around it. It was just, boom, here we did it.
Right.
I mean, we pretty much put ours together in less than 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so. And it was really simple. We went to the courthouse. We had some flowers. We had some friends over. We had a nice reception. And there wasn't any huge vows we had to come up with and write. We just kind of did our thing. And I think sometimes this is the beauty of following what your heart says. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I was in the industry. I used to do weddings and stuff. I was a catering guy. So that was my livelihood for years. But when we allow ourselves to realize however you want to do it is how you want to do it, and it's going to work just right for you, you're going to have a much better experience. So I've got to ask the question, because this is the question I always get asked, especially after being with my husband for 13 years already. So how's married life? So Midge, how's married life?
Well, married life, I'll tell you, I know we're laughing about it, but having that legal document really made it feel different.
Yeah.
Not that the love changed, not that, you know, I mean, nothing really changed, because we had already, as a couple, all those many years ago, got health power of attorney for each other, because I didn't trust my family at all. There was no reason to trust them. And so we wanted to make sure that if something happened to each of us, that we would be in the hospital room. We'd be able to make decisions. So we had already taken care of that. We had already combined our joint savings account. But because I like to be able to buy things for her without really using her money, I wanted to keep my own checking account, but we still have our names on each other's things, and we had already made ourselves beneficiaries to each other's stuff. So we had already kind of taken care of all that. And then all these many years later, the only difference that that document gave to us is, one, the legality of the state saying, yes, you are now a legal married couple, and that gives you all of these other benefits that you wouldn't have had. It wasn't that it was a money thing, but it was nice to know that now I'm not going to be prejudiced against.
Right.
And that always bothered me, that everyone in the, you know, I guess government was not accepting the fact that I had some legitimacy here, and that I counted, and that I should be respected. And so when we did that, it just made it feel so much lighter to me, because it's like, now you can't tell me I don't count, you know? So we are going to see if we're going to file our taxes together this year, but we're going to see which way is going to actually get us the biggest refund. So it doesn't matter to me if we file jointly just because we're married. It just matters to me that we're married and that it's legal and we've been respected in the eyes of the state.
Absolutely. And for those of you that haven't really ever delved into this, and I speak on this all the time because I speak with a speakers bureau here in the Southern California area for PFLAG, which is Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, even though now it's really just called PFLAG. one of the things that we always talk about when we're on stage is there are 1,137 legal rights that automatically come to you when you get married. So this is why this has been such a big thing. And I don't want to get into the whole gay marriage sort of debate stuff here, because I know, first, Midge and I wouldn't debate it. We're all behind it, obviously. We did that thing. We got that ring on that finger, as Beyonce would say. So if you want it, you better put a ring on it. And we did it. So, but what I love about this journey is it is more than just about the legal piece of paper. There is this spiritual thing that happens. I know it's happened for me. You've already expressed that it's happened for you, but I want to take a look at something else. And man, you know, we're already plowing through time here, so I'm not going to get to cover everything I wanted to cover here, but what I do want to cover is a couple of things. Number one, were there any fears you had about getting married?
Absolutely. I mean, I do live in the South,
right.
And even though the state, you know, agreed to it, people around here aren't happy about it. And so as a child clinician, you know, with the homophobic things that people believe about us, you know, that I'm a child molester or whatever, I mean, they have all these weird beliefs. And so my livelihood, you know, would have been in question. And I've been out pretty much anyway lately, but, you know, that was a fear, absolutely. And we both work at the same private practice. So, you know, if we both lost our jobs, not that, I mean, our boss, you know, is also gay and she would never fire us, but if people quit coming, you essentially lose your job.
Sure.
So that was a fear of mine. I'm not really afraid of anyone hurting us necessarily, but we're also very private when we're out in public anyway. We don't do the whole hand in thing because it is a very, very small community and they are not always very nice here.
Right.
So that fear, I guess, is there, but we've just kind of like taken care of it ourselves. But other than that, you know, we've been out to our families. There was no fear of what was going to happen there. My dad didn't come to our first whole union because he wasn't going to condone that mess. My mom still thinks I'm going to hell, but she loves us, and she'll love us to hell and back.
I love that. She'll love us to hell and back.
Hell
Hallelujah.
And back. That's right. So, you know, we weren't going to lose family members. We have a great friend base, and we're connected in the community. You know, that's why I didn't change my name, and she didn't change hers, because after all these years, everybody professionally knows me as who I am and knows her, and
sure,
we didn't want to get into that hassle at this age that we are now. So.
Absolutely, and I get that. And sometimes, you know, I love our gay community and what we stand for, but sometimes I really have a hard time when somebody says, oh, you're not out enough, or you're not, you know, it's like, you're not me. So you can't overlay this onto somebody else, you know? And in fact, that kind of is something I wanted to bring up in this discussion, was there seems to be some pressure. And I don't know if you've seen this in your neck of the woods, literally and figuratively, but,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
right.
I don't know if you've seen this pressure where suddenly now that gay marriage is available in many,
yeah,
many states, still 13 more to go, but pretty much available. Our gay culture seems to be putting pressure on people of, okay, you need to do this because we all fought for this. You need to do this. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that everybody needs to let everybody else be alone. I mean, you know, it's an individual choice based on what your needs are,
right,
and what path you're on. And I don't think we ought to pressure each other to do anything, to come out, to get married, to vote a certain way. You know, we're all individuals. But it was really, the only pressure I had was actually from my boss, whose spouse, they had gotten married the year before in Massachusetts, and her spouse had that horrible stroke and literally almost died. It was a horrific stroke. And if she had not had, she had her marriage certificate on her smartphone so that she could show the hospital that they were really married, because somebody had to give the right to drill a hole in her wife's head,
right,
so she wouldn't die that day. And, you know, thank God they were married, and thank God they took, you know, her statement over the phone that she was married and she would prove when she got there. But, you know, it's those types of emergencies that make it really pressing. And she came back and she says, you guys have got to do this, because, you know, she was just so traumatized by that event. And I said, honey, we already got a date. Don't worry about it. We're all right.
But I get, you know, and I'm so glad you shared this story, because this is poignant information that I think anybody who is listening to this, who is either coming out, starting to think about, okay, what's next in my life, these are the tidbits of information that are really valuable. So even though Midge and I are both married in states where it's legal, that doesn't help us in a state where it's not legal. So if we happen to be driving through Michigan, or, you know, I'm trying to think of the states that aren't legal right now, Kentucky, I think that's one of them. Alabama, they can't seem to figure out whether we're in or out. But anyway, if we were to be in an accident in one of those states, nothing protects us. Except
right. In
mine and my partner George's case, and see, I said partner, I'm still trying to get used to this, my husband's case, technically in California, because we're still also registered domestic partners, we can pull that paperwork out. We can also pull out our medical powers of attorney and all that sort of stuff. This is what sucks, is we have to carry that stuff with us wherever we go. Because if anything happens, we got to be at the ready to go, but I am his medical power of attorney, and you have to listen to me, even though I'm the one with the ring on the finger, and you don't want to recognize that. So I think these are really powerful things for people to really understand. So I've got a question for you that is a little bit related, but a little bit not related.
Okay.
What's the one thing you know to be true about love?
Well, I think the one thing I know that's true about love is that it's bigger than we think. And it's deeper than we think. The truth about love is that it is in everything and everybody, even when they don't know it. And so we have to sometimes be patient with each other because everyone has the capacity to love and love deeply if they're not afraid. So it's everywhere. We all have it, and we all have a right to have it.
I love that. It's everywhere, and we all have a right to have it. It's so true. You know, when I was speaking at a college, actually just yesterday, and I do a speech called the Just Be You Revolution. And when I wind down, you know, I have that moment where it's like, okay, I'm going to leave everybody hanging on the cliff. I say the one thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that every one of us as human beings has the inalienable right to just be ourselves. And nobody can take that away from us.
Yes.
And well, I think this really ties into, and everybody has a right to love and have love. It surrounds us if we choose to be in the state of love. And I'm not saying choose to be in love. If we choose to be in the state and the being of love, we all deserve it. So along those lines, who would you say has been a really big mentor for you in learning about love and relationships? And it may not be somebody specific. Maybe it's somebody you read, but who would you consider a mentor?
Well, I have lots of mentors. You've been one of them. I love so many people. I mean, I've read a lot of Wayne Dyer, you know, and his compassion work. And, you know, I watch Oprah Winfrey all the time. And,
you go, girl.
I know. I love Super Soul Sunday.
I thrive. You know, I've never shared this with you. You know that Oprah and I are twin sisters just from a different life.
Yes, I do.
Okay, just want to make sure that's clear. My big African American diva is always within me, and we're sisters.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But I think the biggest, and I'm not. This isn't just, you know, messing around. My wife, if it had not been for her, I don't think I really could have really loved, because I just did not have. I did not have the model that I needed for that. I didn't have the compassion growing up given to me. I've never had anyone look at me and really see me the way she did. I've never had anybody look at me in my worst moments and look at me with compassion and say, you're not what you think you are. I've never seen that ever in somebody. And so I think that's why, even in the toughest places, we have such deep respect for each other, and I value her so much, and she has taught me that I really was lovable when I wouldn't have believed it, and really didn't, I couldn't see it. So she has, in essence, mentored me not only to find that I do have a lot of parts of me that are lovable. I'm still finding them. I'm still sometimes rejecting them, but through it all, she has never wavered in her belief in me. She could look in my core and she saw it, and I've never seen that in anybody else.
Wow. I love what you just said, and but then I also agree with you that I'm still finding pieces of me I love. I mean, I'm looking down I'm looking down at my muffin top right now and going, I do love you. I really do love you. But I think this is the beautiful piece of when we start to really love ourselves, whether, you know, it doesn't, and here's where we go off kind of off the gay lesbian sort of track of stuff. It doesn't matter whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, heterosexual, African American, Asian, white, whether you're from the South or whether you're from California, it doesn't matter. As long as you learn this beautiful piece of loving yourself, then you're so much more capable of loving someone else. And it's such a powerful space to work in and to be in. And I, like you, I'm not completely there yet. There's pieces of me, like my left-hand muffin top, I don't love near as much as my right-hand muffin top. But it's just because the right-hand one is a little more crusty. I love those crusty little muffin tops. You know, my left-hand one's kind of still soft and mushy. It hasn't quite baked all the way yet. But it is. You know, one of the things back to our good girlfriend and my soul sister, Oprah, she always talks about if you come from love, then everything else is possible.
Absolutely.
And that's a toughie to follow. That's a tough piece of advice to really stay in. So to kind of wind things up today, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge. And coming out is a journey that often can be really difficult. So gay marriage aside, everything else aside that we've been talking about, what would be one piece of advice you would give anyone who's coming out of that closet door, contemplating coming out, maybe just came out or in the beginning of their coming out journey? What would be the one piece of advice you would give them?
I think the one advice I would give them is get your peeps together. You know, find somebody who's really going to be supportive to you, and let them help you. Don't try to do this on your own, because it is scary. It is sometimes dangerous, and there is a gentle way to do it. You know, you found that gentler way. I mean, you don't have to explode out. You don't have to hurt yourself or others to get your needs met. You know, I really encourage people to find someone, even if it's not a professional, somebody that you really trust and you know has some sense about them, and let them support you through this so that you can love yourself through it. Because it really is a very powerful thing, and we have our own homophobia wrapped up in it from all the years of being put down and disgraced. And so we have to learn that. So don't do it by yourself. You know,
absolutely.
Have people with you.
I think so many people believe they have to do it by themselves, and that is just so not true. It is so not true. So, well, I have to say, this has been a wonderful time to spend with you. I'm so glad we got to have this conversation today, Midge.
And me too, buddy.
Be together and laugh and have some fun, but really talk about what really matters. And that is about loving at those deeper levels, letting the journey of life be a very spiritual journey, whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and whether you're choosing to be married or you're choosing to stay single. And so thank you again for being here and really sharing
yourself
with everybody. So if you've really enjoyed what Midge and I've been sharing today, talking about those spiritual things and really getting to this deeper space of love and sorting out kind of how do you do this long-term relationship and how do you come into this space of saying, yes, I'm ready to take that step and be married and step further and deeper into my same-sex relationship. If you've gotten something from this, we would truly appreciate you going on over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and showing us some love and giving us a rating and review. And while you're at it, if you're really wanting to stay in touch with me and the work I'm doing and helping people coming out, hop over to Facebook and give me some love over at the Coming Out Coach and become part of my family there. And finally, for you Twitterati people, those people who are our little birds who love to tweet, you can follow me over at Twitter at Rick Clemons, and that is at RickClemons, and use the hashtag for this show, which is #ComingOutLounge. But before I go, I just want to say love is what it's all about. And when you can love yourself, you can learn to love someone else so much deeper. And with that, we're going to say go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. Until next time, take love and run with it.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.